Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday. Jaguars Monday. Jaguars Monday with J.P. Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Boselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Ticket Exchange, Geico, and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
Yes, it does. From the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field, Jaguars Monday. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli in Jacksonville. Pete Prisco, CBS Sports senior writer down in South Florida. Plenty to get to, as you just heard. 26-19, the final in Detroit. And the Buffalo Bills are next on the docket, a team that is trying to stay alive in their playoff hopes, and they need this game back.
26-19, right?
Yeah, that's what I just said, yeah.
So the Jaguars scored net offensively 13 points.
Yeah. Yeah. Tough day. Tough day for the Jags, and they're falling to 2-8. We'll break down the game, of course, both sides of the ball. The injury report, the longest it's been all year. A couple of guys placed on injured reserve today, including veteran tight end Mercedes Lewis and offensive lineman Patrick Omame. Both are done for the year. And we'll go through all the rest of those. We'll take
Mercedes, and that could be the end of Mercedes in Jacksonville too.
Could be.
Think so. Yeah, maybe. What 11th year?
I'd say two of the three tight ends won't be back next year. That's my gut.
Yeah, wow. I would. I don't know about Mercedes. I mean, I know it was his calf. I guess they found a tear in it and it can't come back. Did they report or they just? Just that he's on IR.
Yeah, we'll go through all that. Yeah,
he's a good guy to have. I mean,
oh,
he
that's what I'm
block.
Saying. I mean, I'm not. I would be against bringing him back at the right price to be your Y tight end, your blocking tight end.
Well, maybe they'll bring in a coach next year who actually doesn't use about 65 tight ends on every play.
So we use 65 tight.
You got him on that one,
Pete. The problem with people like you is you say things that aren't true, and then people listen and they believe it.
Then it'll
that's
go
how
out.
Bad. That's how bad perceptions and bad information
that's
gets.
A joke.
Well, I'm
it's
just saying, but
it'll go out on the internet. Then it's becoming true.
Yeah,
and that's the way it works.
Yeah, Pete Prisco.
Well, then you're sending out on the internet that the coach should come back.
I never said that, Pete. I said you. Yeah, I've said from day one that Gus Bradley and Dave Caldwell and every player on this team should be evaluated by the respective people that are responsible for evaluating them at the end of the football year. That's when I would do it. I've never said anyone is guaranteed anything, and that I feel one way or another. I've said I like them. They're friends. I happen to think they're good coaches. Do I think they make all the right decisions? No, none of us do. Do I think there's a lot of things that need to be fixed? Absolutely. Obviously, when you're 2-8, I laugh at the narrative that says everything's fine but the head coach, and if we get rid of him, it fixes everything.
No, that's not.
That's what you said,
accurate.
Pete.
No, I said – I did not.
Yes, you did.
I did not say everything's fine, but
playback. Playback. Yeah, you did.
There are coaching issues.
Instead of just saying that, what are the coaching issues, Pete? Because I love when people just say
they play sloppy football, for one. Okay. They turn the ball over. When things go bad, they don't respond to it. They have a ton of penalties. They're undisciplined. You want me to keep going?
Yeah, let's start. Let's go one by one. They turn the ball over a lot. Don't disagree. So it's coaching. It's coaching. It's the head coach's fault that the quarterback throws a lot of interceptions, particularly
callous disregard for the football. Do you remember that? There was a head coach of yours that used to say
that. I'm asking
you
a question. Is it the head coach's fault that the quarterback throws interceptions?
Could be. Maybe they don't put him in a good situation sometimes.
Pete, you watch it. I'm asking you again. You watched all 22.
No, a lot of it's on him. A lot of those.
Just answer the question. Is it the coach's fault that the quarterback throws interceptions?
Not all the time, no.
Can you show me one time it was the coach that it was coach's fault?
You go run pass and put him in third and 13 at times.
Because no one else is in third and 13 in this league. All right, so so penalties. You and I both know statistically the amount of penalties have the least amount to do with the outcome of a football game than anything else. Go look at the teams. There's no correlation to the amount of penalties and how successful you will be in the win-loss.
Go have 10 for 120 every week. Who cares, right?
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's not a statistical category that influences the win one way or another.
Is it a sign of sloppiness?
Is it a sign of sloppiness? It depends on the penalties. I think where I would agree with you, the unsportsmanlike post-play lack of self-control are a direct reflection on the coaching staff.
They didn't have those this week.
I'm saying overall.
Right.
But, I mean, you can't argue early in the year that was a problem.
It was.
And I would agree with you, Pete. That is a reflection of the coaching staff. Ultimately, all the penalties and what the team does is a reflection on the coaching staff. So, I mean,
okay,
sloppy.
Keep going.
Okay, well, I can't remember your next category because I disagree on the turnovers. The penalties, I don't think it matters one way or another, win or lose.
All right.
If you look at history, there's no correlation, I don't think. What's the other thing you just blurted out?
Undisciplined.
Give me an example of undisciplined.
All right, Dante Fowler running 40 yards across the field, pushing a guy out of bounds.
I just addressed that with the penalties. I agreed with it.
Malik Jackson getting tossed out of a game.
Pete,
on the side.
Do you listen?
Get a cheek rub.
Do you
That's
listen?
That's undisciplined.
Oh, Pete, I just went over the penalties. Come on. So give me something besides your penalty rant, because if you're
it's
hanging
sloppy,
this all on give me, but you can't just keep on saying
times,
the same word over and over again. Give
well,
me an example.
Well, it's accurate. It's accurate.
Pete, give me an example.
Give me an example of great coaching, Tony. Look at the. Are you going to give me an example of great coaching? The record? You can throw that out the window.
Bad record. Cannot hang on that. The defense.
So where
the defense
are you
is
hanging
taking,
your head on great coaching then?
The defensive coach is pretty dang good. It's taking a huge step. You're telling me that this is not a night and day different, better defense? It is in every statistical category. I mean, somebody did that. It didn't just happen. They didn't just all run out in the field and say, here we go.
Let's roll the ball out.
They were coach, Pete.
Yep.
Tony.
Crickets.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. Gus is a nice, good.
I don't care if he's nice. I'm not keeping
yes, you
it.
Do.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
I'm not keeping
it. Yes, you do. If he was an ogre and a pain in the butt in that building, you would think differently about it.
Fair enough. I mean, I think that influences you. But I'm not making my decision based on how nice a guy is. At the end of the year, I think everyone understands, unless you make one hell of a run to close this thing out, the record
Stop
is going to be very difficult.
With the unless, it's over. There is no unless anymore. That went out the window yesterday. It's done. I mean, what would be unless if they win every game and get to what, 8-8?
I don't even know anymore, to be honest with you.
I don't even think that's good enough anymore.
I don't know. I don't know.
Would 8-8 get you in the playoffs?
No.
No.
Because you got the AFC West to contend with. Right.
No, but the Texans are going to
be.
Texans
well,
are
in the division, but there wouldn't be a wild card at 8-8.
No.
The Colts are going to end up winning the division.
Maybe. I guess my whole point is I just find it comical that one thing fixes everything.
Well, it usually does, Tony.
It does.
That's why you hire new coaches.
So you don't make any other changes. So if you kept everything the same and everyone played the same, the quarterback had the same production.
Well, you're not talking about playing the same.
Okay, just the quarterback plays at the same production, then
so
everything's fixed.
If coaching doesn't matter.
I didn't say it doesn't matter. I do think it matters. And I'm not here defending saying I would keep Gus Bradley. That's not what I'm doing here. I just think
you're acting like coaching has no impact on what goes on.
I'm not saying that, Pete.
Is it the end all? Is it the sole reason why guys aren't better? No. I'll agree with you on that.
I'm just saying there's a lot of things that need to improve for this team to win football games. That's all I'm trying to say.
Correct. I'm not going to argue that.
That's all I'm saying. And I just get tired of hearing it's one thing because it's never one thing.
No, but the reason a coach makes $5 to $8 million a year is because he is that one thing usually.
Well, the reason
if
the
Bill
coach
Belichick were the coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, what would their record be? That's a million dollar question.
I don't know. I have no idea.
What it is right now. You're spitting because you're kind of blaming the quarterback. So does that mean that the quarterback is the problem in your mind?
I'm not just blaming the quarterback. I just special teams. Yesterday, I mean. Jumping off sides when everyone in the building knows it's going to be they're just sitting there trying to get you to jump off sides?
You did say a big part of it is quarterback play earlier. We heard you say that.
Well, a big part of the NFL is quarterback play. Pete, I mean, I'm quoting from your playbook now. Quarterback is the most important part of play, unless you have
denying he's part of the problem, a big part of the
problem. The only way the quarterback isn't a major part of the plus or minus, either way, is if you are a unbelievable defense and a great running team.
And even then, he's got to be somewhat part of it.
And then at that point, all you're asking him to do is not turn it over. Make some plays. Convert some third downs. But this is not a historically – this defense is not great yet. Has the potential. It's good. The defense is a good defense. It's probably a couple pass rushers, or it's the young pass rushers taking the next step. When they can get pressure with four on a semi-consistent basis, no one does it all the time, but on a consistent, throughout the game, then I believe this has the ability to be a great defense.
One quick thing before I know we got a break.
Yeah.
The Lions would be in the postseason right now. Is the only difference between those two teams right now the quarterback position?
I would argue that the Jaguars are better at a lot of positions than the Lions. They're better at wide receiver. They're better at corner. They're better at linebacker.
Well, Slay's a good corner.
The group of corners. Secondary. Okay, they're better in the secondary. Better at linebacker.
They're not better. Nobody's better than Ziggy Ansah.
Nope. They have better ends. I would take our tackles.
Let's come back and continue the discussion. By the way, the Jaguars launched Jagsgiving today. You can register for a chance to bring three friends or family members to a game later this year, the 24th, the Christmas Eve game, when the Titans come to town. They'll enjoy VIP treatment, reserve parking, an autographed jersey, pregame field passes, and much more. To register, visit jaguars.com/Jagsgiving. We're off and running. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
Got it up three, with however much time, and weren't able to do anything with it, and give them the ball back. And I think you can sit there and say you hope that the defense stops them again and you get the ball back. But as an offense, I don't think you can ever say we'll get another opportunity. Stafford's a good quarterback and they're good at closing out games, and we knew that. And we knew we had an opportunity up three to go put it away, and we didn't do it. So it's on us.
Jaguars quarterback Blake Bortles, after the game yesterday when the Jags had the lead in the fourth and the ball, went three and out, couldn't do anything with it. And of course, you know what happened after that final score of 26-19. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Vaselli, Pete Prisco, Jaguars Monday rolls along.
Hey, can I say something to you, J.P.?
Yes, sir. What's up?
We would be remiss if we didn't talk about the semifinalist.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. We the semifinalist stuff.
Yeah.
Because we mentioned it, I know, on Thursday and Sunday, but on this program, yeah. Absolutely.
Tony,
it's a good time for that.
And I think you're gaining more steam again this year.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, Pete.
I still think it comes down, there's a gap, all those guys got in, all the tackles got in. So they can't hang those guys over you anymore, even though they should have never hung them over your head the way they did. But they're gone. The only guy left is Jacoby, and then there's a huge gap again. So I think this is your window right now.
We'll see. It is a very interesting process. It was interesting reading that Gil
Brandt.
Did you see the Gil Brandt article, Pete?
Yeah, he had you handicapped pretty well on that thing, I thought.
Yes, I was surprised, I guess is the right word to say. So you know how it works better than I do, Pete, and we'll see what happens. And those are all your buddies.
Yeah, and I've banged on them. You know me. I hit them all the time. And for the life of me, I can't figure out what they vote in there. I just can't.
Why aren't you in there?
I don't want to. I don't want to kill them too much with it because I think sometimes they'll get annoyed.
No, they get mad. Yeah, they get mad.
Yeah.
Why aren't you in there? As a national guy now. No, I know originally why the Jacksonville didn't happen, but as a national,
as an at-large guy,
why aren't you in there?
You know what? I don't know because I had Jarrett Bell, who works for USA Today, came up to me one day and said, "Look, we got to get you in that room. We need more people to fight back and push back." Like when T.O. didn't get in on the first ballot. I mean, which is ridiculous.
It really is.
They didn't put him in. It's too much of that stuff going on in there. And he said, "We need to get you in." And I said, "Look, I used to want to go into that room badly. And now I'm not so sure I do. I mean, it would be a great honor, but all the politics and infighting and the you know, the cliques. Tony, there's so many cliques in there that fight for their own guys. I'll vote your guy in, you vote my guy in. That's not the way it should be. And I always thought the process should be one where if you got to go into a room and have somebody stand up and convince you that somebody should be in the Hall of Fame, then you shouldn't be a voter. You should be able to do your own work.
Right.
If somebody gave me a list of guys, they said, here's the 15 finalists, semifinalists, pick out five or six, I would be able to pick out the five or six because I'll do my own work. I don't need somebody to tell me.
How many guys, Pete, in your profession and in that room do the amount of work that you do as far as watching tape and all 22 and trying to understand schemes and really understand what teams are trying to do and what guys can and cannot do?
I think there's some, you know, not as much as I do because I love it, but I think there's some guys that do it. I just think there's a lot of old school mentality in there of, well, this guy did this when he was on the field, and we'll hold that against him. And, you know, he didn't win rings, and he didn't play long enough, and whatever. If you're great, it's not the hall. Too much of this is the Hall of Longevity. It's not the Hall of Longevity. It's the Hall of Fame. That means you're a great, great, great player. It doesn't mean you played for a long time and were a very good player. So, I think there's too many things that are wrong with it, and the process sometimes is wrong. I mean, come on, Tony. You don't need to go into a room and have Peter King stand up and tell me who's a great player. I know who the great player is. I don't need that. Neither should anybody else who has the honor of being one who votes for the Hall of Fame. You should do your own work, make your own ballot, turn it in, and that's that.
So let me ask you about another Jacksonville guy, Leroy Butler. I mean, he was one of the best players in the NFL. I mean, safeties. Why does he never get any mention at all?
I don't get it. And in fact, there's a Jacksonville safety who's up this year, Brian Dawkins. Brian Dawkins was a great player. He wasn't as good as – he's not the best safety from Jacksonville. Leroy Butler was. Leroy Butler's a better player than Brian Dawkins. But I don't know why Leroy doesn't get the push. Same with, you know, you look at those other safeties. Look, no offense to John Lynch. He was a good player. John Lynch wasn't as good as Leroy Butler. He just wasn't. I don't know. It's a weird dynamic. I can't figure out. Why Leroy Butler gets no traction is a mystery to me.
All right. 48-person committee, by the way.
Yeah.
One from each NFL city and then some at large.
And it's a tough job. It's a subjective process, and you got to respect the process. And I think those guys, for the most part, are doing the best they can and trying to make a educated decision on who they believe is there. I think my biggest question is why is – a guy as knowledgeable as Pete and I go back and forth and don't always agree on things, but Pete knows football and he studies it and watches it. And whether I was up for it or not, those are the guys I think need to be. And maybe those other guys do. Maybe those 48 guys are like Pete and watch the tape and really study it. I don't know.
Not all of them.
So just interesting.
Yeah. Hey, let's come back and get into the Lions-Jags game from yesterday. The Southern Chevy dealers are giving you a chance to win a VIP game day experience and a brand new Chevy Malibu. Register your local Southern Chevy dealership today for your chance to win. Visit ChevyWinners.com for more information. More Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
You know, what could I have done better as a coach? You know, what, you know, could we put our guys in better situations? Is there something we could have said, something we could have done? Is there calls that we can make? You know, things like that. So we'll take responsibility. Players take responsibility. And then we regroup. I told them in there, I said, I know we have the right guys in this room. And, you know, if you're asking me why, how do I know? I know because they always fight. You know, and when they fight back like that, and they fight every day, and they fight in games, it's the right group of guys.
Head coach Gus Bradley after the game yesterday at Ford Field, Detroit. Jaguars Monday continues. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco. Jags fall in week 11. They get the Buffalo Bills this week in Orchard Park. Always interesting this time of year with the weather. It should be cold and wet, they say. They had a lot of snow up there,
yuck.
I think, yesterday.
That's gross.
That's not going to be fun.
No. So, there you have it.
And I got the game. I just found out that Andrew Luck's in the concussion protocol.
Yeah, that just came out. Andrew Luck, concussion.
And I have the Colts Steelers on Thursday night. That's not good for me. I was looking forward to.
Well, at least that's an easy game, though. I mean, like, you can go from the hotel, walk to the
stadium. Oh, no, yeah, that's fine. But, you know, you want to see – I'd like to see both teams play.
Yeah, he's in the protocol. That doesn't mean he's out. But
the game's Thursday. Today's Monday. Yeah. I mean, it's a quick turnaround, you know. It's rare to go in the protocol and then play on Sunday.
By the way, Tony, why don't you see if you can get Bruce Smith to, when you're in Buffalo, to vouch for you for the Hall this week.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
Weren't you there for his Ring of Honor induction or something?
Yeah, I was, by happen chance. So, Pete, I got a couple things I wanted to
talk. Did you drive him out of the field like you did when you played against him that day?
Yeah, I blocked him again. I wouldn't let him get his
one-on-one, too.
Yeah.
So, you got tweets tonight,
so,
Tony.
A couple things, Pete. One, you talk about sloppiness, penalties. You say this is a very penalized team. The last three games, they've averaged less than five penalties a game, for what it's worth. That wouldn't really go to your thing. I do agree with what you said. Coaching does matter. There's no doubt about it, Pete. Leadership matters. It does. And I want to make sure everyone hears me. I'm not saying that any coach on this staff or anyone in this organization is looking for a free pass. I mean, that's the NFL. You're going to be judged at the end. And even if it's – whether it's your fault or not, it's your responsibility as the head coach. And I think Gus would tell you that. And it's – wins and losses.
He's a smart guy. He can figure it out.
He'll tell you. It's wins and losses are on me, and that's my job. My whole point was saying that it's not just one thing. And I got a good tweet, actually. Kyle Pipkin made the point. He says, well, the 49ers had Mike Singletary, and they went 5-11. They fired Mike Singletary and went to the NFC Championship with John Harbaugh. Huge improvement. Was it all because John Harbaugh came and changed everything? Obviously, he made a difference.
Jim Harbaugh.
Yes. Obviously, he made a difference. It wouldn't be fair to him to say he didn't. I think also, if you look at that team, things changed. They were a young team. They added a couple free agents. They drafted a guy who was a dynamic pass rusher when he lined up next to Justin Smith. It changed their defense even greater. They became more of a running team, and they drafted a bunch of young offensive linemen that played well. So was it coaching? Yeah. Was it good GMing? Good drafting? Yep. And was it good playing? Absolutely. And so Jim Harbaugh had a lot to do with that. And so when you look at a record, I'm not saying it's all on the players or it's all on the GM. It's on Gus Bradley and the staff as well. And at the end of the day, they'll be the first to be judged. That's how it is, because you don't change a whole team. You change the coach first. My whole point is saying that because Jim Pipkin, whatever, Pipkin, Kyle Pipkin, makes a good point. That's a very good example. But it's never just one thing. And Pete knows as well as I do, there was other issues when Mike Singletary was a coach, other circumstances. But it's not just one thing, Pete. Am I wrong in this?
No, but he wasn't a very good coach either.
I'm not saying he was.
I mean, I know guys who played on that team said it was like a joke. I mean, seriously.
I didn't want to come out and kill – this wasn't to kill Mike Singletary.
No, but I'll pile on because I'm good at that. But, yeah.
But Gus Bradley, whatever his record is a better coach than Mike Singletary.
Yes.
And this is not me being biased. I think everyone in America who knows anything about coaching, and Pete will vouch for this, would say that. But it's a good example, because coaching does matter, and changing of sometimes a change of leadership does make a difference. But it has to be part of things changing. So I thought that was interesting.
No, he made a very good point. I'm impressed with that, by the way.
Yeah, I do too. So I wanted to bring that up. I mean, when guys make good points, because there's some other really stupid points that, you know, any other coach – this team would be 5-4. Okay. Oh.
Yeah, the whole point is that you can't just plug a coach and a staff in here and expect the players to perform like they haven't before.
Well, again, we go back to, you know, two things in this league win games, the coach and the quarterback.
Both very important.
And Right, and the quarterback hasn't exactly helped the coach either.
All right, so yesterday.
So, but Pete, just back to your sloppiness, 14 penalties, three games, less than five
where
a game.
Do they rank, where do they rank in the penalty department in the entire league? They've
I
had
have
a
no
ton
idea.
Of penalties.
I'm just telling you, in the last three games, they've had less than five penalties a game. That's not sloppy football when it comes to penalties.
They've cleaned it up a little bit, is what you're saying. Yesterday, how did Blake look? Was it better than the week before? Was
he
it
threw a pick six.
Yeah, beyond the pick six, overall game.
Should have had another interception.
Okay.
On the in route that we got a gift from the officials. Now, the officials jobbed us earlier where it should have been pass interference. They called pass interference on an in route. I didn't think it was. But they called it. But the ball was poorly thrown. The one to Allen Hurns in the third quarter. Wide open, underthrown. Allen Hurns should have caught it still, but it's not a good throw. Then there were some great throws. The play he made, I mean, he made some great plays. The play he made in the goal line when A.J. Cann or Brandon Linder, I'm not sure whose fault it was, but someone went the wrong way and left Haloti Ngata all by himself. And Blake Bortles dropped, planted his foot as he's getting hit in the chest and threw a strike for a touchdown. The back shoulder throw to Marquise Lee for the touchdown. Great throw. Big time throw. And so he had some very, very nice throws as well.
I thought his motion shortened up a little bit, too.
It did.
That was something I noticed.
It did, Pete. I noticed it as well. But the consistency and the accuracy was not there. Or let me say it this way. The accuracy was not there consistently. And so you still see the inconsistent play that lead to big mistakes that make it hard to win. So – was it better? I can't say it was better because you still have those things that really hurt you. Did certain aspects of it look better? Sure. Did he make some really great throws? Yes. But that almost frustrates me more because it's like, okay, you get a taste of it, but you can't get the whole dang thing. And so that has to change, the consistency aspect of the quarterback. And I'm hoping it can because the makeup of Blake Bortles is something I really like. And I know Pete has been critical a little bit, but the mental toughness, the ability, the physical toughness to gut it out. I mean, the guy got drilled, landed on his shoulder, hung in there, never missed a snap.
He is a tough physical kid, yes.
So I really like that part of it.
Physical toughness, you can't question anything about his physical toughness, nothing. He'll stand in there, he'll take the shots, he'll get back up. Like you said, Tony, when he did get hurt, he got back up and went back in the game. The mental toughness is something that's concerning a little bit.
At times, there's bad body language. You're right.
Yeah, and they know it, too. I mean, it happens. And I think, for whatever reason, guys feed off of the quarterback when he's going well, you know, and sometimes if they look over there and they see that, then they go, you know, I'm not so sure about this. And so, yeah, he's got to pick that up. But, yeah, I mean, it was better at times. You know, it was amazing last week. He was 13. What was it? 12 or 15 on third down.
Yes.
And one of those was a drop by Julius Thomas in the middle of the field. For all the crap that he did took last week, and that's the problem. He throws a pick six, misses two deep balls. All of a sudden, the game stinks. No matter what else he does, right? Isn't that the bottom line?
Well, when you throw pick sixes, it's hard to recover from. It's hard.
How in the heck was that one a pick six yesterday?
Terrible coverage. Terrible coverage. I mean, guy's got to hustle and go make a play.
Right.
Got to help your guy out. But you can't turn the ball over like we do. And right now it's the quarterback is the main perpetrator. And there's just some things out there that you have to take advantage of when there's plays to be made. And it's just not happening. And so – you know, a perfect example, and I'm not saying this, you expect him to hit this all the time, but you get the fumble, you have first and 10 from the 11 yard line, you have a corner route to Julius Thomas, he's open, and you overthrow him. Well, that's a play you got to make. Seven.
Wait, you thought the one where he was double covering the corner of the end zone, he was open? It didn't look like he was open on TV.
On the first, where they had to settle for three?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's open. He's a step.
Is he? It didn't look like it on TV. Maybe I could look at the 22 because I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, I thought he was open on the all 22.
Guys, let's take
a
time.
Looked like the backside. Tony, it looked like the backside guy was open.
Maybe he was. I can't remember. But I'm not going to kill Blake for that because a lot of quarterbacks miss that. But when you're struggling and you're throwing the bad balls, and at times when it comes out, it looks like it's about to be end over end, and you're throwing pick sixes, you can't miss those. And so it's hard right now. I feel bad for him because it's a tough situation.
But the motion was better, and that is a good sign. That means that he worked on it, he understands it, and it was better.
Let's come back and flip it over. Defensive side of the ball coming up. Game day is so much more enjoyable if you don't have to worry about finding a parking space. Ride the JTA Game Day Express and park in one of the five convenient lots. Tickets start at $7. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
Only thing I can do right now, talk about for real, is I'm just proud of the guys on defense. I'm proud of the whole team. We all fought hard. And, you know, it's tough to keep losing. But at the end of the day, all you can do is just you got to go back to Jacksonville, watch the film, see what we did wrong, and then just get ready for the Bills. That's all we can do.
Yannick Ngakoue in the locker room last night in Detroit. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco. Jaguars Monday rolls along. We'll get to the injury report coming up. But the defensive side of the ball. Boy, the first five drives, I believe the Lions had 14 yards total combined in the game. Then they started to move the ball in the last drive of the field goal before halftime. They had a 67-yard drive and then picked up some yards in the second half, and the Jags couldn't get off the field when they needed to, almost an eight-minute drive at the end to kill the clock. But they gave up 13 points, right?
Gave up 13 points, 14 total rushing yards on 21 carries. It's less than 1 yard a carry. It's dominant.
Yeah, and lost again.
They look good. They look good. Well, the Lions don't run the ball very well either.
No. But 14, they run better than 14.
They run better than 14 yards, Pete.
Yeah. I mean, that was good. They were impressive yesterday. And you know, Tony, you always say that I can't say when I'm wrong. I can say when I'm wrong. I'm going to give props to Posluszny because I thought, you know, before the season, I thought he might be phased out and getting too old and everything else. And he's had a damn good season.
Good player.
A really good season. Yeah.
How many more seasons like that does he have in him?
How old is Puz? Is this year 9?
It's year 10, I think. Stand by.
He takes great care of himself. He is a workout machine, great nutrition, much like myself. So I don't know.
He's 32.
Yeah, 10th season.
Maybe another year.
Here's the question with that, though. If he's on the field and Telvin's on the field, that means Miles Jack doesn't play again for another year.
Pete, could you go to a situation where you put Miles Jack as your Sam linebacker or your auto? When you go to nickel, him and Telvin stay and Puz comes off?
Maybe next year.
Yeah, next year, I'm saying.
You could also go to a situation. The problem is, as you know, you got to have three DBs, three corners on the field. So that defeats having extra linebackers. But eventually that's the way it's going to go, though. You know that. I mean, Paz knows that. It's just a matter of when.
Well, he's going to make it hard on him. As long as when he's playing this good, to make it really hard on him.
Yeah.
I thought the defense effort was outstanding. Played really hard. Made a couple of errors. I mean, the Telvin, which I just, God, you know, he had such a tough week and emotional week, and then I just hate that that one big play was a mental error by him. And
61-yard reception.
Yeah,
Ebron.
You know, basically the formation they're in, it converts to man, and he has the wheel route, which is Ebron. And he just didn't carry it. Now, was it because he missed all week? Because of which he should have, by the way. And I don't, if anyone ever said,
yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
Give me a break.
It's.
It's life and death. It's family. He played the game.
That's much more important.
Way more important. So maybe it was because it was an adjustment. Maybe he just because he didn't get the reps this week. Maybe that was it. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it would have happened if he'd have been at practice all week. I don't know. I just know I feel bad for him because he's a really good football player. He's a really good man. I mean, a good guy.
And another guy who's had a great year. By
another great year. And for that to happen, I hate it to happen anytime because I don't want us to lose ball games like that. But for the week he had, it bothered me for him. I know he's hurting. And it was just one of those things because the defense played so well. But I'll say that should not have determined that you can't play football where one play on one mess up on defense puts you out of it. Instead of giving up six, you give up 13. And like, oh, we're done. We gave up 13. And I said this morning, Pete, on the show with the two knuckleheads, Prosser and Hicken, is what worries me is when I call the game, and I wonder how it is for fans, but when I call the game, I have this uneasiness from the start and this I don't know how to explain it, but this feeling that every time, almost like some anxiety, that every time the defense goes out there, my thought is, you got to be perfect. Got to get three now. Got to get the ball back to the offense. You can't give up any points. Because my thought is that I don't have any confidence in the offense to move the ball consistently and not make mistakes. So as a broadcaster and as part of doing the game for the teams, I have the feeling of, like, they have to be perfect because we can't win if – and that's a hard way to play football. That's not a recipe for winning. And, I mean, that was the feeling I had yesterday. It's like, okay, come on, defense, one more time. And at some point, the offense has to carry the weight.
Yep.
What do you think they're ranked in the league right now?
Defensively, Pete?
Yeah, pretty good.
They had two really bad games, so that's going to hurt them. Top 10,
yeah,
I would
say. They were top
7.
Yeah, they were
7.
I think they were 8th entering the league, right?
Yeah, they're 7th overall, and they're 6th in yards per play.
It's pretty good.
Very good. They're 5th in net passing yards against, which is, for a team that doesn't get a lot of sacks, that's pretty impressive too.
We'll come back. Injury report, PFF grades. I'm sure Pete has those fired up and ready.
I'll
not
be participating today.
Yes, you will.
Yes, you will. And phone calls, too. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. The Irritate Bocelli segment.
I love it.
Coming up. I think we all love it, Pete. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Still some things I need to work on as far as, you know, just being strong with my hands and things like that, but healthy. That's the main thing, and I'm proud of that. So my main thing is just to continue to build and move forward from this point, just trying to stay consistent and be there for my team.
That's Marquise Lee, Jaguars wide receiver. First touchdown of the season yesterday in Detroit.
Playing better than any other offensive player right now.
He's making it best
player on the offense right now.
Yeah, he's making a case for the best player on the team as a whole, is what John Ozer was saying. No, who's the best player on the team right now?
Right now, I'd say the best player on the team.
Overall, 53.
Jalen Ramsey.
I think the most upside talent is Jalen Ramsey. I think the player having the best year is either Telvin Smith or Paul Posluszny.
Okay. Marquise is getting right up there, though, no doubt about it.
Playing very well. Yeah. I'm not taking anything away from him.
He looks like an NFL receiver. With speed and hops and everything else.
How about hands, man? Wow.
Yeah, I know.
At some point before the show's over.
Okay.
We can do it whenever.
Yeah.
I'm tired of talking negative about Blake Bortles.
Okay.
I want to go over some things that he does well, and he did well yesterday.
Okay.
In fairness to
– we'll get to that.
Because he does do some good things.
Let's do a little business first. The injury report. We'll also get the PFF grades as well. It's a long one, the injury report. Right shoulder injury. Bortles played through it, though, of course, and had the lead in the fourth quarter. Lewis, right calf injury. He's on injured reserve. Left ankle sprain for Avery Jones. Right ankle sprain for T.J. Yeldon. Aaron Colvin and Aurelius Ben are both in the concussion protocol.
Aurelius Ben got hammered.
That was on the punt, kickoff return, right?
The big one by Marquise. Yeah. He got hammered. He was out on his feet. Out.
Odrick, right shoulder injury. And Omame with a right foot injury. He's on injured reserve. So the Jags did make.
I thought Chris Reed played pretty well.
Yeah, he came in and looked like he just on the TV. It looked like he did some decent stuff.
Yeah, I thought he did okay. Powerful guy. I like it.
By the way, the Jags did claim a Jordan Hill, the defensive tackle from Washington, off waivers today in place of Lewis. And Josh
in Seattle at one point.
And Josh Wells is activated to take the place of Omame. So there you have it.
Where does Wells play? He's a tackle. Can he play guard?
I don't know, Pete. I would not put him at guard. I'd put Reed there. He's a swing tackle, though, is what he is.
Well, maybe he can play right tackle because he hasn't played very well.
I thought he played better yesterday.
I couldn't tell from the TV tape. But
well, if you couldn't tell, why did
he didn't look like he was great last week, and he had some penalties.
I just said he was bad last week. This past week.
He was awful last week.
This week, I thought he played fine. And you gave
he
me
might
the,
be,
huh.
He might be dinged up, too. He might be dinged up, too.
I mean, I thought
great
he played,
analysis.
I mean, give me a break. He played fine. So let's talk. How much time do we have till this break?
Oh, we got a while. We got PFF grades. We can get some calls. 355 NFL.
Everyone's killing Blake, and I've been critical of him and saying, because it's the most important position of all sports. Is there a more important position in sports? Maybe in NHL playoffs, the goalie, because a goalie can take you all the way. But
the goalie and the pitcher, maybe that's it. But goalie, pitcher has to pitch three times in a World Series, though, to win a World Series.
A hot pitcher can, maybe. But yeah, day goalie. In and day out, is there a player in team sports that affects the game and
goalie.
His team more than the goalie. Quarterback? Is there a more difficult position to play in all professional sports? I would say no. So it's up there. And so you're going to get a lot of credit and you're going to get a lot of heat. And it's the life Blake's living.
And a lot of money.
But that's the life Blake is living right now in the position that he's in. It's on the heat side. And I think sometimes we get – because we're losing and it's not going well and the expectations aren't being met and people want to get fired. People want to fire people and everything else that we are so negative and it's hard to sometimes be positive. But there are some things that Blake does very well. So – because I think some people are in the camp of it's time to – pull the plug and move on and draft somebody else or go get – I mean, I've heard people talk about go get Tony Romo.
I think a lot of people are in that camp if you read Twitter at all.
Which I'm not yet. I mean, no. I think you play it out and you evaluate. I've said that from the start. Some of the – his toughness, his ability to stay in the pocket, buy time with his feet, make plays on the move are all really, really good things. And he has some of the things that – if you don't have, you can't play the position, which is the ability to hang in the pocket and the toughness and the fortitude to do that. And he does that naturally. The things he's just got to work on, the consistency. And Pete said it. He shortened his motion this week. It looked better. But the inconsistency and the ball coming out, you know, really like, you know, a wounded duck and inaccuracy and all those things have to be adjusted. I think those are things he can improve on. And I think what you have to look at in the big decision that Dave Caldwell and all the people involved in it is, as we look at this entire year, do we have the confidence that he can be a quarterback that can win the division and take us to the Super Bowl? And if the answer is yes to that, then you move forward with him. If the answer is no to that, then you go find somebody else. But when you evaluate Blake, it's not all bad. And you have to be fair to him and say there's some really good things he does. You just got to clean up some of the mechanical issues and some of the decision-making when it comes to, you know, the interceptions.
You know what's funny, Tony, when you think about this? And I'll get to a couple of things on him, too, in a second. But if I would have told you before the season that the Jaguars would be 7th in total defense and 6th first yards per play.
I'd say it would be
8-2. In the middle of November, you would have said they'd be leading the division, running away with the division because it's a bad division, and pushing for a while. I mean, for a bye in the first round. That's what you would have said. But because the quarterback regressed, that's not the case. I mean, that's not the case. You know, we talk about his motion, and I brought that up in the preseason, so it was an issue back then. You remember, I thought right away that there was something wrong with it. That's been – he can fix that, and I think he's getting better at it. You can tell he's worked at it. My biggest concern with Blake Bortles, it's kind of twofold, and they kind of go in line with each other. One, deciding where he's going with the football, no matter what, before the snap. Now, there are a lot of great quarterbacks who come to the line of scrimmage, Drew Brees, Peyton Manning. They have an idea where their defense is going to be. They know where they're going with the football because they've read the coverage. The coverage is right. They get it right. The ball goes there. Young quarterbacks come to the line of scrimmage. They think they're going to read it right, and no matter what happens, they're going where they're reading it. And that's a bad trait to have. And he does that way too often. And I think that's something that he needs to work on. Two is getting through the progressions by using your feet in the pocket to move. And by that I mean not move out, move. And I think once he gets, if he can somehow get to that, then I think he'll be okay. Because the motion can be tweaked. And I do think that he can work on that. But it's the it's not so much below the head for me. It's above the head. And
I would disagree with you, Pete. To me, it's the accuracy. That's the biggest concern I have with Blake Bortles.
Well, the accuracy is goes back to his feet and his mechanics.
Right.
So,
because there's one thing I've never seen is a quarterback have success who's not accurate.
No. But you can't have success and you can't be accurate if you're throwing into coverages all the time too.
Oh, that I agree with that. But I guess my point, Pete, is you see a lot of young quarterbacks have those issues.
Yes.
And then they learn and they mature.
Yes.
So I'm not as worried about that because he has the toughness to hang in there. I'd be really worried if he didn't have the toughness to hang in there and he was bailing out like we've seen other guys do. Because then you would never have a chance to go through your progression or see the field. I think he'll learn that. I'm not worried. I'm worried about the accuracy.
Well, like the one
because you haven't seen
though,
because it wasn't like last year. Even when he put the numbers, he was the most accurate guy in the building, and it's gotten worse this year.
But Tony, when he was in the pocket, he had a little time and didn't look like anybody got open. And I don't know. You saw the 22, so I'm not sure. Then he moved outside the pocket, and they kind of came back, and it was almost a sack. But remember where they came from behind him and knocked him down. He's got to learn to move and allow the guys to get open. Now, I didn't see the 22 this week. You did. You remember the play?
No, I don't. I don't.
And then there was the one on the goal line where they came around him, and he kind of panicked in the pocket.
No, it wasn't a panic. He had TJ on a Texas route, was breaking over the middle, where he fakes out and goes in. And Beecham got beat, and he was getting hit as he's trying to throw it to him. Might have been a touchdown.
Does the ball got to come out quicker?
No, that route takes a little bit of time to develop because TJ's got a sell going out to the flat. And so I thought he was throwing it on time. You got to protect. So I wouldn't fully put that. I didn't watching the tape, Pete, I never want to blame the offensive line, but I watched that one. I'm like, you got to hold up a little bit longer. That might be a touchdown if you can hold up. Some routes take a little time to develop. But it's just it's the accuracy to me, Pete.
Yeah, well, that's part of it, but that goes back.
And I know everyone goes back to about him not being able to throw a spiral consistently. Everyone says, "Well, Peyton Manning didn't." Well, Peyton Manning got the ball right in the right spot, right on time, every time.
Right. Well, Peyton Manning also had great mechanics.
That's my point. And so, I'd be fine if it was coming out a little squirrely, if it was hitting the right spot at the right time.
We showed the play just before that you were talking about on the Jaguars.com. While we're doing the broadcast of the overthrow to Julius Thomas.
Yeah, you see how if he throws it.
But there's two guys there. You got to really fit that one in there.
I'm not saying.
I'm telling you, Pete. It looked like on the TV tape, Tony, that he had Marquise Lee on the backside, and that goes back to my thinking. Okay, his pre-snap read is automatically I'm going there. When the reality is, if it's a double there, and it looked like it was a double, that you come back to the other side and hit the guy in the thing. But I can see where you're saying if you throw a perfect throw, drop it in there, it's going to be
touchdown.
A touchdown.
I want everyone to hear me. I'm not killing. I mean, a lot of guys miss that. That's a tough throw. But when you're missing so badly in other spaces, in other places, and it's so bad, when you're down there, you got to make those plays. And so it kind of magnifies it for me at least. Mm-hmm. Because, perfect example, I did the Thursday night game last week, Carolina versus Saints. And a couple throws that Drew Brees made, one was a pick, was I have no idea why he was throwing it to the coverage he was throwing it to. And it was a bad ball, and it was just awful. To be honest with you, not for a moment did I think, oh my gosh, Drew, come on, you're an idiot. I'm like, that was a bad – you know why? Because the other 30 throws were BBs hitting the guy, and – great throws and great reads. So even if and when Blake gets out of this funk, he's still going to make bad decisions. Tom Brady makes bad decisions at times. I mean, they all do. You get fooled sometimes. You get pressure. You throw it, and it's an interception.
Other team gets paid, too. Right?
Other team gets paid. I'm not expecting Blake to be perfect. It's just is how bad the bad is, it doesn't give him much room for air and really any grace in the other areas. And that's the hard part.
He also looked like he was aiming a little bit yesterday.
That might have been because of the shoulder injury, though, Pete. I want to make sure.
That's right. Yeah, he's playing through.
That shoulder might have been bothering him, so he's fighting through that. And I thought early, and I didn't make it, that's why I made a big deal about it. Some of the balls were really bad right after the injury. Had nothing on them. They were kind of floating.
Right.
And I think that might have been because immediately post-injury, he was not feeling really all that hot.
Yeah, that we just showed the play, by the way, that I was talking about. It's the play where he actually hurt his shoulder. That's the play I'm talking about.
Can we rewind it? Here we go.
Yeah, okay. It's like that's a decent pocket. Move, and throw. Not move and run. Move and throw.
I don't think anyone's
you're not running.
Pete, I'm pretty sure if I remember watching that, I don't think anyone's open.
But you're not running for 13 yards on that play either, though.
Fair enough.
Throw it away or something. Hey, you want to get the PFF grades in here? We'll get calls next segment.
Let's do it real quick. Yeah, do it real quick.
What do you think, Pete?
All right, let's go. All right, ready? There's two guys in the green on offense. Two.
Mark Easley has to be.
Correct, 100%. He's the highest rated offensive player on the team yesterday.
I would say Ivory, but he had the fumble.
No.
Yeah.
There's one other?
Chris Reed.
I thought Chris Reed played well. I thought Linder played well as well.
He's right. Yeah, he's a positive, but not in the green. Biggest negative of anybody on the team.
AJ Cam.
On the offense, by far and away.
He was very bad.
Run blocking, terrible.
Terrible.
What happened to him?
He was bad, Pete.
I could tell the one play where Haloti Ngata threw him aside on and ran down the line and made the play early. I think it's the second or third game play of the game, right?
Bad day for AJ. Happens.
All right.
Bad
defense.
Day, what was Blake's? Go back. What was Blake's? We didn't get Blake's.
Yeah.
Blake was a big minus.
Yeah.
Big minus. Parnell was a minus. Beecham was a minus.
I thought Parnell was better than Beecham.
They thought Parnell was a little bit better than Beecham. They gave Beecham a big minus in the run game. I mean, in the passing game.
Was not his best
day. And they gave Parnell a big. Well, Parnell gets pinged for the penalties.
That's right. Yeah, he had a couple, didn't he?
All right, defense. A lot of green.
Yeah, I mean, you only give up 12. The whole front seven should be green with only giving up 12 yards rushing.
Malik Green?
Yep.
Avery Jones.
Highest rated defensive player on the team.
Avery was very good. Puz missed a couple.
Odrick is in the green.
I thought he played well. He didn't rebounded from a poor game and played well. He was in the green. He had a couple missed tackles.
Yeah, he's in the red in the pass coverage.
A couple missed tackles.
He got beat on the Theo Riddick little thing where he got deked out of his mind.
He didn't really get
deked. Pass.
He just missed the
missed
tackle.
Missed the tackle, right?
He was right there. He had him wrapped up.
No, the one where he took the swing pass out of the backfield and he kind of went for about 20 yards. He kept running up and he made a move on him.
Oh, but that was the first guy who got beat was Telvin. That was Telvin's guy.
All right, Cyprian, positive, big positive.
What about Telvin? I thought he was not, and I hate
minus, and not a minus, but just a slight
just average. Yeah.
He had a fumble recovery.
Fowler, positive, Tony.
Not much in the pass rush, did he?
No, run defense.
Yeah,
he's
very good at the run defense. Just doesn't rush the passer all that hot.
And then Alu was a positive.
I agree. What about secondary?
And Yannick got a minus, not a small minus, but. Nothing great. Secondary. See, I mentioned Cyprian, a positive. Gibson, slight positive. Amukamara, slight positive. Colvin, slight positive. Jalen Ramsey, slight negative. Pass coverage, minus .9.
I'd love to know what they're watching with that kid, but
they for some reason there's certain guys they seem to like and ones they don't. You know what I mean?
Let's go to break and come back with some phone calls.
Yes.
The Irritate Baselli Half Hour will continue in just a moment. Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. Phone calls coming up, 355-NFL1. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
It's difficult. It's challenging. It's not where anybody wanted to be. I said it before.
I think there's a special group of guys in there that, you know, when things aren't going well, they're able to put their head down and go to work, you know. And I know it's not showing up in the results, but that locker room's working their tail off to go compete every Sunday. And, you know, every time we step on the field, we expect to win. And you know, we haven't, you know, obviously had the results we've wanted. You know, I think offensively, there's been some good stuff done. We've done a lot of good things, and it's been overshadowed by not winning.
Blake Bortles yesterday in Detroit. Jaguars Monday continues with the Irritate Vaselli half hour. JP Shadrick, Tony Vaselli, Pete Prisco, and your call. So let's go to the phone lines and start off tonight in Satsuma, Florida, with Peter.
Satsuma.
Peter, what's up?
Where is Satsuma?
Hold on. Based on my experience of what might be wrong with Bortles.
Okay.
I believe he's trying too hard. But he's carrying the whole franchise on his shoulders based on his body language from last year to this year. When he makes mistakes, you can see the disgust in his face. And the game's no longer fun for him. He's just simply trying too hard. And I was very interested to see what you guys thought about that.
Well, I see the disgust in Baselli's face, but that's just a normal Monday. I don't, you know, look at
it. I think there's something to be said when you start pressing too hard and you start pressing and you get really anxious and trying too hard that it can't affect your play. I guess I would say I'm not sure that's the issue with Blake because it's been up and down all year. So unless he had that pressure on himself from the start, I don't know if all of a sudden that's the reason that I would what I would attribute it to. But possibly.
Well, I think he presses. I do. I think when things go wrong, he really presses. I don't know if it's the burden of carrying the entire franchise. I think it's the burden of a couple things. This was supposed to be the year that he played himself into a mega contract, right? I mean, that was the year. Well, that ain't happening. So part of him is sitting back every time he takes a field going, I got to make up for it. I got to make up for it. I got to make up for it. I got to get it going. I got to get it going. And sometimes you press. And then when something goes bad, then he sits – you can just almost see it in his head. Again, I'm killing myself here. This is crazy. And he starts pressing even more. And it's not just him either. A sign of a team that's not good yet is when things go bad, they don't know how to come out from underneath it. You know, early in 96, Tony, when your team wasn't very good, things went bad and you guys didn't know how to come out from underneath it. Eventually, you learned how to come out from underneath it. And I think that's a sign of a team that grows up, matures, and is a good football team. When things go bad, you're down 10, you know you can come back and become a team that can do that. And this team isn't there yet.
All right, next car. Good call.
Joe, what's
by the way, Satsuma is just south of Palatka.
Oh, there you go.
Satsuma, is that like a real town or is that just...
Yeah, it is a real town.
Like, what's the population of Satsuma?
Probably not a lot, I'm going to guess.
Look that up
for
me,
Joe. You should run for mayor of Satsuma, Tony.
Yeah, it'd be good. Our last caller might be the mayor. I don't want to take his job.
Let's go back to the phone lines and go to the beaches. Bob is on the line. You're on the air, Bob. What's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, want to give you my thoughts on everybody's talking about Caldwell and we're dicing and slicing Blake. I think a lot of the blame for what's going on right now falls on the shoulders of Dave Caldwell. He's the one that selected the coach. He's also the one that selected Blake Bortles. You look at the way the original Jaguars were built. It was the Killer Bees. You got Baselli, you got Brunell, and you have Brackens. And you look at what Dave's done. Okay, where's their left tackle that they selected?
He's hurt.
You're having problems with Bortles. And we're being told that Dante Fowler may not have the maturity to learn the moves besides the brute power that he has to be successful as a pass rusher. So I think, you know, if you're going to show Gus the bus, I think you need to put Dave on it too.
Okay.
Can I, let me talk about each one of those, okay? First off, the draft of 2013 was atrocious. And was Jokel any good as a left tackle? Average at best. Was he pretty good as a guard? Who knows? He did some good things when he was in there. It's still to be determined. But that draft stunk, okay? So, yeah, it was a bad pick. The option there was Ziggy Ansah. That's who I would have taken. I said it all along. And he's a good player. But he hadn't done a whole heck of a lot this year. He's been hurt. So we'll defend him a little bit on that one. The Bortles pick,
And he got Cyprian, don't forget. That was a good pick. Right now, it looks like a good pick.
Well, up until this year, that wasn't a great pick either.
But now it does.
Yeah. All right. The pick of Bortles. I defended that. I thought that pick was fantastic. I thought it was an A pick. Everybody a year ago thought it was an A pick. You thought it was they had their quarterback in the future. They were going to lock him up. He's going to be the long-term guy. And something between the end of last year and this year happened. Whatever it was, who knows? He's not the same guy. So all of a sudden that pick is in question. You can't say right now it's done. It's over. You don't know. It looks like it's moving in that direction, but who knows? He might be able to come out of his funk. So that one right now, A last year, F this year, that gives you a C for that pick. Then you move on to Fowler. Fowler's coming off an ACL. It takes time to learn how to rush the passer in the National Football League. He's a darn good run player. I think he's undisciplined at times. He needs to work on that. But the pass rush stuff, that will come. And if you look at the history of the pass rushers in the league, for the most part, most pass rushers take 1 year to learn how to play the position. Go back to Dee Ford. You saw him a couple weeks ago. The guy's become a really good pass rusher. First 2 years, he could barely even get near the quarterback. It takes time.
I think Pete did a good job, of especially in the young pass rushers. I said at the beginning of the year that Dante Fowler, if he got five sacks, would be a very good year. I don't think at the rate he's going, he's not going to get there. What does he have, two?
Yeah.
The reason I said that is because it's very hard to learn how to pass rush if you've never done it before and you're coming off the ACL. He didn't play defensive end in college. He was an outside, inside, run around, hit people backer. But the guy plays extremely hard. He's undisciplined, needs maturity. But he has a lot of raw talent, and I think, you know, he's got a chance. So, but if you look at the overall draft picks of Dave, you know, 13, Pete did a good job. The book's out on Blake. It's yet to be decided.
But
so,
now, having said that about defending those picks, I will question some of the free agent signings.
Like which ones, Pete?
Audric. Now, you can get out from underneath it. The one thing you can say, Julius Thomas, the one thing you can say about both those, you can get out from underneath them and not take big hits. So I give him credit for that. You structured the contract the right way. You're not going to get killed on any of those guys.
Right.
So, but, you know, Gibson, he's been okay. He hasn't been great. He's been okay. Right? I mean, be honest.
Yeah, no, how much are they paying Gibson?
I can look in a second. Amukamara has been a nice little free agent.
Very good
signing.
Free agency. Okay. I'll give you some.
You got to bring him back, don't you?
Yes. Let me give you some of the good free agent signings, and then you can go through all the bad ones. Roy Miller, Sendarek Marks, Prince Amukamara, I think Malik Jackson.
Well, he was a big ticket item, so yeah, I'll give
okay.
him Jackson.
If we're going to kill him for Julius, which I agree with you, I don't think that was a good one. In retrospect, we were all jumping up
and down. Remember what the other option was? It wouldn't have been a good one either. It was Randall Cobb.
Randall Cobb.
Remember?
Neither's really worked out that well. Toby Gerhart, bad.
Bad. Zane Beadles, bad.
So it's been a little bit of a mixed bag there. How about that?
Parnell?
Good.
Okay.
Beecham, good.
Parnell?
Good. I mean, not great, but good.
Ah, come on, Tony. He's been okay.
Dan Scuda.
Bad.
Not much. You're not paying much either, so.
No.
It's fine. How about
Chris
that?
Chris Ivory.
To be determined. I think good.
I'll say that time and again, I would never pay a running back to come play on a team. I would just wouldn't.
So what are you going to do at running back, Pete?
Draft a guy.
In what round?
Maybe like Rob Kelly, the undrafted guy that the Redskins ran for about 150 yesterday. Guys like that.
Okay.
You can find them.
Joe, what you got?
2014 census says 5,800 people in Satsuma, Florida. JP, not the biggest Satsuma. By 1,000 people, Mobile County,
yeah,
Alabama.
I was about to say, I kind of took liberty and said it was in Florida, but I knew there was another one.
So
5,800? 5,800 as of 2014.
Can you tell me who the mayor is?
we'll get to that. Hey, let's go back to the
Tony's
phone line.
Tony's going
to
take him down. He's taking the mayor down.
I might take him out. Satsuma.
Yeah, see when the next election is. James in Ohio on the line tonight.
James,
you're
all right.
Up.
Let's rock and roll, James.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Great, how are you?
I'm doing good. Well, I know Bortles is getting a lot of flack lately for his play, and I just want to say some good things about him.
Okay.
Finally, some positivity around here.
Can you turn your radio down as you do that so I don't have to listen to you talk twice?
Yeah, okay. I turned it down. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
What's up?
Yeah, I want to point out the good things. Like, his toughness, as Tony was pointing out. I mean, Sunday, he was playing with a pain in the shoulder. He took some big hits. And he's been getting sacked a lot lately. I mean, in his career, he's been sacked over 100 times. And he still plays in the game.
Hasn't been sacked much this year, by
the
way.
You know how many times he was sacked yesterday?
Zero, which is the first time in a long time he's been.
You're right about that. It's been a long time. That's why I brought it up. It's been a long time.
Yeah, and but like you guys were saying earlier too, his throwing motion was way better this week. I mean, it was quick.
But the accuracy
wasn't taking
better.
Forever.
That's what worries me, is the accuracy.
Yeah, the accuracy needs to definitely improve. I think in the end zone he's been really struggling this year, and even the deep balls. I mean, he has guys open at times to make big plays. And he misses them, but that can be taught. I mean, accuracy can be taught and coached, and it can be improved.
Can it, though? I don't know. That's a question. Pete, do you think accuracy can be improved or taught?
If your footwork improves, your accuracy will improve.
And I'm not being cynical. I'm asking the question, really.
Yes, it can.
Okay. Sorry, go ahead, Jason.
And also, I mean, he shows good emotion in the games. I mean, he shows like he cares and wants to win. And you can see, like, even at times, you know, he pulls his chin strap off. He's on the bench. You can see in his face he's upset about something. I like that in a quarterback. I mean, Brunell's, like, back in the 90s, he showed he cared, and he turned out to be a great quarterback.
I don't think he cared at all. I think Brunell was a bum. Worthless piece. You know what? He didn't care about anything but himself.
Selfish, in fact.
Selfish player, Mark Brunell.
Mm. Those left-handers, you never know.
Terrible people. Yeah. Terrible people.
They really are.
Yeah, you should be mad at them.
I'm joking, Jason. No, you're right.
He caused a bunch of sack. Hey, Baselli, look, the guy made some good points. Don't you agree? I think he made some good points on Bortles. But you know, in terms of getting hit a lot, maybe that wears on you eventually. It probably does.
Pete, I'm telling you, the only thing I worry about with Blake is his accuracy. And what worries me about talking about accuracy, we're talking about an NFL quarterback. I don't want to be worried about his accuracy.
JP, are we going to break in a second? Or are we taking another
call? We can, yeah. Oh, let's do one.
I wanted to ask Tony. I had one question I wanted to ask Tony. I forgot to ask him when we were talking about his career before.
Well, yeah, go for it, and we'll get one more call, too. How about that?
Mike McCrary had 3 sacks against you in 1995. Is that correct?
95. We didn't play in 95.
Seattle.
96.
96.
So it was a Sunday night game. One of them was a sack. He had a good bull rush against me and got a sack. Beat me. Mark had to hold the ball a little bit, but it was a good rush. Take nothing away from him. The other one was a naked bootleg where Mark was running, and I chased Michael McCrary for 30 yards, and he was faster than me, and he never hit Mark. Mark, which I'd like to punch him right in the mouth, instead of just throwing away Pete, ran out of bounds for a one-yard sack.
Okay.
And Michael McCrary never touched him, but he was the closest player, so he got the sack.
He got credit for it.
And then the third one was I stoned Michael McCrary on the line of scrimmage. No pressure. Mark tried to scramble to get to run and ran into Michael McCrary at the line of scrimmage. No gain, but no gain in the NFL is a sack.
You know, it's great that you remember every single one of those.
I can tell you every sack I was ever involved in.
Yeah, because I was just going back looking at some stuff the other day, and I saw that, and I was – and
one was
and,
legitimate.
Know the amazing thing, Tony?
He beat me.
I covered that game, and I can't remember that.
Oh, yeah, he beat me on one, Pete. He had a really good
– I remember the one he beat you on. I remember that
it
one.
It was early in the game, actually. It was early in the late first quarter, third down. It was a – he got in my body, pushed me back. Mark had to hold the ball a little bit, but the pressure – he tried to get away, and McCrary sacked him. It was good. I mean, I got beat.
What was the game time temperature? You remember?
It was a cool night. It was December.
It was cool. It was a pressure-packed night because the team was choking away a chance to go to the
postseason.
Yeah,
we had to win. We had to beat them.
Yeah.
No, it was week 14 because after that we played Houston, and then we finished with Atlanta at home, and we almost choked away Atlanta. Or was it the opposite? Did we go Houston and then Seattle and then Atlanta?
Houston, then Seattle, and then Atlanta. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was, but yeah, because I was just doing the research on some of your sacks, and
that was it.
Me, no offense to Mark, but me and Osher used to sit in the press box and say, call out Brunell for getting you.
Mark had a bad habit.
Bailing to the left.
It was funny. Everyone says, you played with the left-handed quarterback. It was easier. I said, actually, my easiest games were if Jamie Martin was in there, for different reasons. Mark probably got away from some sacks where I got beat because he was so elusive and such a great athlete. I mean, he was awesome. I loved playing with him. But he had a habit when he dropped back, he rolled about a yard and
drifted.
A half, drifted to his left.
Yeah.
So he cut any angle I ever had as a pass blocker and really narrowed the angle up for me. Where if I played any right-handed quarterback, they didn't do it. So I always felt like I had more room to work with. But people always said, he ran into sacks. I said, well, he probably did. He ran out of some sacks, too. Let's not kid ourselves. I mean, he was amazing. I think people forget how.
Because Wydell was probably because Wydell caused him.
Pete, I think people forget how good Mark was.
Mark was good.
Really good.
Mark, for me, though, and you know me, put your foot in the ground, go through your progressions, and throw it.
Yeah.
When he used to hold it and run and do all that crap, it infuriated me.
No, I know.
I thought he got better as he got older.
Oh, they all do, mostly. But he was a good player.
But, you know, like Bianchi used to think that Brunell was at his best when he was running around doing all that crazy stuff. And I said, me and Osher used to argue with him all the time. No, Brunell got better in 99 when Brunell was in the pocket making his plays. That was when he was better.
He was great. But I always give Mark Hall a hard time. I'm like, and he gives me a hard time right back. You know what he says? He says, I made you. I was a left-handed quarterback.
Oh.
And I say, no.
Yeah, I like
it. You made me.
That sounds like Brunell, by the way.
Yeah, I said, you made me work harder because you are the most undisciplined drop-back quarterback technique-wise. I can't believe he coaches it. Mm. In fact, I question whether he should be anywhere near any quarterbacks on the high school level because the poor drop-back technique he had. No, it was great. He was a great player.
The Killer Bees. We're stealing that from the Houston
Killer
Astros. Stealing it.
We had a Killer
Bees. Dolphins were the original.
Oh, that's right. I wasn't born that.
Plus,
Sorry.
We had Killer Bees here. Aaron Beasley.
That's right. Hey, let's come back. We'll look around the National Football League when we return in Week 11.
You know what? Can I say one last thing here? Great phone calls tonight. The best calls we've ever had in the history of this show. I actually enjoyed it. They were very well thought out. I didn't agree with everything you said, but they were concise, well said. And all the callers, great job tonight.
We can do more when we come back.
Sure.
If you really want to.
No problem. Let's finish
it up. I
don't
know. I'm sure at some point that could change.
Well, if we have more callers, we can do them because they're really good tonight. I just don't like when the people are dumb and being idiots, but tonight they're very good.
This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
.438, .437, .436. Can the Jaguars make something happen? Brunell under center, sends Keenan in motion from the near to the far side. He'll take the snap and drop back to throw. Pressure coming, he's jumping out to the near side. Pump action, cuts across the 50, breaks a tackle at the 45, he's at the 40. Mark Brunell running to the far sideline, turns the corner, 35-30, down to the 25. An inside move, leaping for the 21. Mark Brunell with a masterful run of 29 yards. And the clock continues to run.
One of the biggest plays in the history of the franchise, 1996 playoffs, second round in Denver, Mile High Stadium against, I believe at the time, I don't know if it still holds up, the largest underdog in the history of the playoffs.
14 points, right?
15 and a half points.
Beside the Jets.
Oh, was it besides the Jets? Okay, second largest. And after the first quarter where we were losing, I think, 12-0, we went on and scored every possession until we knelt down at the end of the game. And that right there was a Mark Brunell made Bill Romanowski's not look good and ran around and made people miss and was faking throwing it and juking and jiving. And it was a great play. And then that drive ended with a fade route to Jimmy in the end zone that basically sealed the victory.
Memories.
What a great
memory.
Seems like yesterday.
Wasn't that a great locker room afterwards, Pete?
Oh, yeah.
It was fun.
I bet it was.
Because you guys all yelled at Woody Page.
Yeah, that's right. We were.
Including Tom.
I can remember and I'll be quick with this. I got sick the night before with altitude sickness. I did not eat. I was throwing up all night.
You're from Colorado.
I know. That's the
what's wrong
thing.
With you?
I had people coming in and praying for me, and I was believing God. Honestly, I was like, God, I'm not going to be able to make it. Woke up, read the paper with Jeff Novak eating pancakes, and tried to have some pancakes and a little bacon. Couldn't eat it. Basically threw it up. I didn't know I was a middle player or not. Went to the got in the locker room and was praying and got an IV. Threw up again. Got another IV. And some by the way, by the grace of God, went out there and played four quarters. And I'd taken so many IVs after throwing up, but I kept on taking IVs, that after every series for the first quarter and a half, I had to pee. And so I would sit on the sidelines, and they put towels around me, and I'd pee into water bottles. Isn't that funny? Yes. We went out
and
played.
It's funny and gross.
Yeah, funny and gross. And it was a big game for me. I had 80 people there because I grew up in Colorado. I got 80 tickets, and I was playing against Alfred Williams, who that year I think was second in the NFL in sacks with 15 or 14. Good player. And it was great. What a great memory. Walking off that field, seeing all my family and looking up, because I grew up going to Mile High Stadium. And Old Mile High, and Pete had been there many a times, but Old Mile High shook. Like, when they got going and started pounding on it, the whole place rattled. And Joe will tell you, he was up in the press box. I mean, it moved. And you could feel it on the field. And it was
– It's been 20 years. Are they going to do something to honor that team this year?
I don't know, but there was nothing like that moment. Gosh, it was great.
Don't you think they should, though? I mean,
yeah, and there's nothing as low the following week when we lost.
They're putting Jimmy Smith in the pride of the Jaguars.
Yeah. Well deserved.
That's not honoring the whole. It's well deserved, but it's not honoring the whole team.
That was a great
team. Maybe the week when those guys do that, they should honor the team.
That's a good idea.
Maybe
that was great, though. Gosh, that was great.
Got a few minutes.
We need that. We need more of that.
Yeah, we do. Indeed. We need a few more minutes with Pete Prisco
as
well.
I got one more thing before we talk to Pete about around the league real quick.
Yes.
I would like to put a call out to all of the Satsuma residents.
Yes.
I understand you have no mayor. You have no leadership.
Unincorporated.
I will be your leader. I will be your mayor. All I need you to do is elect me.
Do you trust this man?
And I will lead Satsuma.
I always thought he was the mayor of Jacksonville.
I will make Satsuma great again.
Well, you got to start there and get your bones.
Make Satsuma great again. That's my slogan.
Do you trust your grandchildren's future with this man?
If you want Satsuma to be great again, vote for me as your mayor. I'd like to be your mayor, Satsuma.
It's not a real city, so you don't have to live there.
I understand that it's one of the prettiest places on the St. John's River in Florida.
That's the rule.
Let's go around the league, Pacelli, so I got to get out of here.
Prisco's had enough. Let's start off with all the missed extra points. 12 missed this week. What is going on?
We had two in our game. Holy cow.
I love that they moved it back and that these guys are not handling it well. It makes it great because you have all week to sit on the sidelines and kick. That's all you do. It's your only job. Make the damn kicks. I love that and it's not only impacting the extra points, it's in their heads and starting to impact the field goals, too.
It's part of the play now matters in the sense of it's a real play. You got to execute it and get it done. I'm with Pete. I like it.
The Bengals dropped another one to the Bills yesterday. Is Marvin Lewis done in Cincinnati?
The Bengals are not making the playoffs, and I think Marvin Lewis will be fired at the end of the year.
I would agree 100%. They're not making the postseason. They don't have A.J. Green probably the rest of the year. They're not making the playoffs, and Marvin Lewis is done.
And I feel I don't like saying that because Marvin Lewis, if you've met him, is one of the nicest men in the NFL,
right.
And Marvin Lewis is a good football coach.
Cowboys have 9 wins in a row now. All right.
Darn good on that offensive line. That offensive line is unbelievable. It opens up big holes. Elliott can run through it. It makes it easy on the rookie quarterback. And you know, when you get the lead, they're better on defense. So it's a good team. Are they the best team? To be determined.
Yeah.
What do you think, Tony?
Yeah, are the Cowboys the best team?
Are the Cowboys the best team? No, because if the Cowboys and the Patriots played each other on a neutral field, I'm picking Tom Brady.
Me too.
So I can't make them the best team because of that.
At some point, Tony, does the rookie quarterback show up? You know what I mean? Does he become a rookie?
Pete, he does. It's such an easy game, and I'm not taking anything away from him because he's playing great football. But when you can run the ball and you have that offensive line and that protection and those weapons with veteran guys, a Dez Bryant, a Jason Witten, and a rookie running back who's going to possibly break the all-time NFL record when it comes to rookie rushes, rushing yards, makes his job easier, and he's taking advantage of it playing really good football. So I don't know.
Don't look now, but the New York Giants are not too far back in that division, too, with a win over the Bears yesterday.
And what are they, 7-3?
Yes.
7-3, and they play the Browns this week. They should get to 8-3. They have a home game with the Lions. I think they'll win that game down the road. And then the rest of them are division games. They're going to get in the postseason. They're going to get to 10, 11 wins.
Well, right? And they won the first game against the Cowboys.
Dallas.
Yeah. They beat them by a point. So if it comes down to they can beat them again and Cowboys find one other loss. I mean, they're not out of the division race.
Right. No. Let's finish with the AFC South. Colts beat the Titans. Luck had a couple of touchdowns. T.Y. Hilton had a nice game. And then tonight, Monday Night Football, Lunes Noche de Football in Mexico City tonight. The Houston Texans and the Oakland Raiders.
Lumas what?
Lunes Noche de Football.
Lunes de Noche de Football. I have no idea what that means.
It's Monday Night Football, man. Monday Night Football.
No, Lunes de Noches.
Lunes Noche de Football.
Luchas. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Who you got tonight, guys?
I like the Raiders, but it's going to be tight. I think it'll be tight.
I think they're all going to be sucking down, trying to grab oxygen masks as they're playing at like 15,000 feet. I think they're going to be struggling. I like the Raiders, though. I think the Raiders are a really good football team, and their defense is playing better after struggling the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season. They got that offense, and everyone talks about Derek Carr, and he's playing very good. The best part of that offense right now is that offensive line. Much like the Cowboys, they're not as good as the Cowboys, but they protect the quarterback. They can run the ball. They're big, physical, nasty. And I've said for as long as anyone will listen, if you got a good offensive line, you can do a lot of stuff on offense.
Yes, you can. I'm a big believer in that as well, Tony.
If Houston loses, is Indy the number one team in the division in power rankings?
No.
Anybody?
I got to move.
Right now, let's just say it. If Houston wins, it'll be Houston, Indy, Tennessee, Jacksonville. If Houston loses, I think you got to still keep them up there because they beat Indianapolis.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm with you. All actually, right. Pete and I agree 100% on the power rankings this week.
There you have it. Pete, have a fantastic program tonight. We'll talk to you next time.
You got it. Talk to you next week, fellas.
See you, Pete.
Prisco, CBS Sports senior writer, is out of here. Guess what?
Just you and I?
And when we come back, it's just us to wrap up the show.
That's sad.
Why is that sad?
I don't know. I already missed people.
I was looking forward to it.
No, it'll be good.
Jeez, it's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Final moments of Jaguars Monday. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Pete Prisco's out of here. The Thanksgiving holiday is nigh. And you will be in, what, Indianapolis?
Indianapolis. Colts, Steelers. A little disappointed. It looks like Andrew Luck's going to miss the game unless he has a morale. I don't even know if it's possible for him to get through the entire protocol by Thursday.
By Thursday?
I think it takes 4 or 5 days. Yeah. I think he's out.
It's very rare to see somebody diagnosed and then announced on Monday, even play Sunday of the
next week. I think he's probably out. So Tolzien will be the quarterback. Yeah,
those are reports from Ian Rappaport that Tolzien will be the starter.
But it'll be fun. Indy's a great city.
Great city.
I'll judge their press box on because I've done – this will be my third different stadium on Thanksgiving Day. Maybe my fourth. My third. I've done a bunch of games at Dallas. Mm-hmm. Outstanding spread.
It's the rumor.
Great Thanksgiving spread. Jerry does it right. Did Green Bay last year. First year I didn't do Dallas in a number of years. Green Bay was good spread. Not great. Not a Dallas quality. No Dallas.
Okay.
It's okay, though. I enjoyed it.
Fair.
I like more variety of pies.
Who doesn't?
Yeah. Some better – you know, maybe some more sweet potato stuff. But anyways, so I'll be in Indy. And so big, I'm looking forward to it. It's, you know, I will not be eating healthy. So I'm going to go to town. And I'm curious to see how Indy does their Thanksgiving spread. See if it's up to snuff. It's an important part.
It's a big part of the day. Oh. There's no doubt. It's the part of the day.
It is the most important part of the entire game process for me.
Especially on that day.
On that day.
Yeah. I mean, most game days, yes. But I always Thanksgiving
enjoy,
game day, sure.
I enjoy judging and rating the press box.
If you had to do a power ranking of top three Thanksgiving foods, what would they be?
Fried turkey.
Okay, that's one. Wow.
Stuffing. Love stuffing.
Yeah.
Sweet potato casserole.
Ooh. No desserts, though? No pumpkin pie?
Oh,
no.
That's a whole other category.
Oh, it's different. That's a different. Oh, that's a food.
Mashed potatoes. Homemade mashed potatoes.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
Green bean. Green bean casserole. Ooh. Corn casserole. Oh.
So you know, I like green bean casserole with mushrooms in it.
Love it.
Fantastic.
I think my favorite non-turkey side, though, like I break it down. Like you have turkey, stuffing, mashed potatoes. Everyone has that. That's like
basics. Come on. That's 101.
So the non-basics. Yeah. My favorite is a good sweet potato casserole. My number one thing I look for. That's my go-to. That's where I'm going before anywhere else. You know what else? My wife makes an outstanding Jell-O. Like a Jell-O. It has like sweetened pretzels in the like as a crust with like this
That's
cream
weird.
With Jell-O on top of it. It's like a Jell-O casserole, I guess. I don't know what else you call it.
I've never heard of that.
It is. Oh, I mean, I can kill the whole pan. And then dessert. When I get to dessert, I'm a big pecan pie.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
My wife makes a homemade pecan pie with homemade whipped cream. And that's going to be a problem. I have to have at least one slice of pumpkin pie because I always have that. That's the only time I have it. I'll have pecan pie year-round.
What does Dr. DPS PSCC think of this?
I'm going to ignore his text messages, and I'm not going to listen to him that day. And then, if the right person makes it, a good sweet potato pie. Have you ever had sweet potato pie?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
That's good stuff.
Woo!
Now, have you ever had a turducken before?
I have not had a turducken. I know what it is.
Oh,
I've never had one.
Oh, boy.
I'm a fried turkey guy.
We did a couple games in my past down in Louisiana on Thanksgiving. The LSU-Arkansas game we used to do. And the night of Thanksgiving, it was turducken time. And it was glorious.
That's like a turkey stuffed with duck, right?
A turkey with a chicken inside of that, with a duck inside of that, all cooked together. And all three meats kind of just merge with each other. And it's just, it's unbelievable. Yeah. It'll blow your mind.
Do I fry it or bake it?
This one was baked, but you can do either way, I think.
I like fried turkey.
Oh, so good.
So, and then, usually, I'll have a piece of apple, too. So, I'm a four pie guy.
Four? That's like a whole pie.
Four pieces.
Well, you've been known to eat a whole pie before. Oh, we've seen this.
Easy.
In person.
I will eat a whole pecan pie if it sits there long enough.
Oh, somebody's got to eat it. It's going to go bad,
it's
right?
Go away. It'll disappear. So happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
Yeah, obviously no Jaguars radio programming Thursday.
Nope.
We'll be back with you Sunday.
Sunday in Buffalo. Joe and I will be eating some wings on Saturday night. Our annual, that's not annual, we don't go every year, but every time we go to Buffalo, Joe and I and a couple of the guys go get some wings at the birthplace of wings.
Anchor Bar.
So
enjoy that.
I will.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, JP.
Enjoy your trip. For Tony Baselli, Pete Prisco, Max Hockman, Joe Fortunato, this is JP Shadrick. Thank you for watching on Jaguars.com and listening on Jaguars Radio to Jaguars Monday.